Thank you for joining me today as we continue to discuss who God is. And yesterday we were finishing off our discussion on parenting God's way, and I said to you parents that it is of crucial importance that you be the dads and moms God wants you to be, because how you parent your children gives them their earliest and deepest impression of who God is. How you parent gives your children their earliest and deepest impression of who God is. Well, I got to thinking about this last night, and I thought about the fathers and mothers listening to me who have not parented God's way, and who have therefore given their kids a very wrong and poor impression of who God is. Perhaps this person listened last time and thought, yes, I really have been a bad parent. I screwed the whole thing up. But I am sorry. And what do I do about it? Well, for those of you out there who feel this way, let me just say two things here at the start, and then do not worry. I'll get to what I have promised to say to adult children still living at home with your parents. Let me give you first an invitation, and second, some biblical wisdom. By way of invitation, if you're a father or mother that wants to know how to express to your kids that you didn't parent them God's way, will you write to me today? I want to correspond with you a little about this, and I want to encourage you. I'm not going to judge you and will definitely, absolutely not be condemning. I only want to offer you some personalized guidance as to how you might interact, engage, or re-engage, maybe even after many years with your children. Mark at markaswallow.com and God is P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts 01890. Please do write to me about this as soon as you can. Second, Christ's wisdom for you is this. Get some time on your own in quiet. Shut off the TV, the computer, and your electronic devices, such as phones and tablets. If you cannot do this without being distracted, then find a piece of paper and a pen or pencil. In the silence, pray to God. If you are not yet a follower of Christ, tell God that you want Jesus to forgive you of your sins in parenting. Invite Christ to take away your sin from you, to wash you and make you clean, and to remove your sin such that you will then be completely unburdened. Your prayer does not need to be fancy. What it needs to be is sincere, real, and honest. God will read your heart perfectly, and He will answer this prayer. Or should you be in Christ, His disciple, but in parenting consider yourself a very poor disciple, then you ought to also pray sincerely and cry out to Christ to forgive you of how you have practiced fathering and mothering. God will forgive you if you will ask Him out of a sincere heart to do so. So today, let God hear your prayers. And be specific. Here are some examples. Lord, I have sinned by being absent. I'm sorry that I gave my son and daughter a sense that they could not depend on me to be there for them. Please forgive me, and I pray they will forgive me when I tell them I'm sorry. Give me the courage to call them today. And or, Father God, I have not been loving and caring as a mom. Lord, I just did not know how to do this well. Given my own experience with my parents, I had no good role model, and I admit I blew it with my kids. But give me the help and courage to now pursue them again, to be the kind of mother and grandmother you want me to be. Again, those are only examples. What I can say with confidence is this: it is not too late for you, mom and dad. It's not too late for you, granddad and grandmom. It's definitely not too late. Your children may be very far away from you now, either physically, they may even live on the other side of the world, and or emotionally, mentally, but I know of no hurting children that would not want to get a phone call, a text, or an email from you. Perhaps not a visit, certainly not unannounced. Do not do that. Do not just show up in front of them. But some kind of communication from you. You are never too late for that. And even if they do not respond at first, give them time, be patient, and then try again. He or she may not trust you, or believe you, or take you seriously. But if you are serious, then prove it to them by continuing to pursue them. All right, that's my advice, rooted in the gospel. And again, do write to me today and we can discuss this off the air. You can trust me to be gracious with you. Now we move on. You know, if you've been with us, that as I've spoken to parents, the lessons Jesus has for them were perhaps largely applicable to those with children at younger ages. But does Jesus have anything to say to adult children, many of whom still live in their parents' homes? As we saw, the Bible teaches us that Jesus lived with his parents until he was 30 years old. So if you are still in your parents' home, then you share something in common with Christ. And he offers you an example to live by. And it all comes down to one word, which describes one action. And that word and action is this: work. Work. I could put it this way: get a job. And then do not only get a job, but keep the job and use a portion of the income to pay your parents or grandparents, your step-parent, whoever, some rent. I'm going to show you this in the Bible, but first let me state this reality. Jesus lived with his parents until he was 30, and Jesus worked most of those years. That's right, Jesus had a job, and he did it to absolute perfection. I want you to think about that. Jesus worked, and he used the income from that business to do what? Well, to provide for his family. The Lord certainly did not need, nor did he personally keep the money. But as we know, he had his father Joseph and his mother Mary and his younger half-brothers and half-sisters, and as the eldest child, they needed his provision. Furthermore, I believe that his earthly father Joseph died sometime before Jesus starts his public ministry, and if so, then the income from Jesus' business was a must for a family in that historic context. Mary and her other children depended on the money Christ's work provided. He was their main source of income. God is pro-work. God is for work. God created work for all of us to do, and the Son of God, Jesus, proves this because he worked. Now, how do we know Jesus had a job? Turn with me, if you have your Bible there, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. In verse 3, we get this little, but I believe important detail on the life of Christ during these years of his silence. I'll read Mark 6, beginning at verse 1. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When Sabbath came, Jesus began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And what is this wisdom given to him? And such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Eoses, and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" They took offense at Jesus. And so here's Jesus, back in his hometown of Nazareth, and he has, as usual, come under criticism for his ministry, and the unbelief of the people of Nazareth emerges right off the page and sort of slaps us across the face. Looking for a way to diminish Jesus, they're like, "We know this man. He's Jesus. He's that son of Mary, and he's got these brothers and sisters, too. He's a carpenter. We know his work. That's who this is. He's no trained rabbi. He's no Messiah." Mark writes, "And they took offense at Jesus." Well, as always, much can be said about this, but notice verse 3, "the carpenter." This was also stated in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 55. Matthew 13, 55. Jesus was a carpenter. That was his job. Joseph was a carpenter, and it was common for fathers to teach their sons the family business. The Greek word here for carpenter has wide meaning and can be used for a builder or craftsman. Our Lord worked with his hands. He's a common woodworker. Again, this draws us back to our lesson. Jesus teaches us to live quiet lives, trusting God to develop intimacy with us in our daily routines. Our master teacher lived a quiet, routine life, enjoying intimacy with his heavenly Father as he whittled away on wood in his yard or perhaps in a little shop somewhere in the village. And this speaks directly to the obscure, simple, and very quiet life Jesus had. We see this in the interaction of his neighbors. Jesus had such an ordinary upbringing that they simply cannot believe he is their Messiah. They cannot accept that the simple carpenter is the Son of God. No way, they think. Isn't this intriguing? This surprises even many Christians about Christ. He had a job, which he worked with Joseph until Joseph died, and then Jesus used the income as he continued to build to provide for his mom and his younger brothers and sisters. There are undoubtedly many ways to apply this to us, but I'm applying this to those of you still living with your parents, say after the age of 18. If physically and mentally able, you also ought to work. Get and keep a job, any good job. Continue looking for your perfect job. Continue pursuing further training for a career. But meanwhile, Starbucks, McDonald's, the local supermarket, a clothing store at the mall, whatever it is, get up in the morning, leave your parents' home, put in an honest and full day's or night's work, and then come on back and share the income with Ma and Pops. Now, you say, they don't need it. They're doing well financially. Or you are the parent and you're articulating this. Oh, I love having my adult children home with me. I could never ask them for money. Well, hold on now. Are you sure? I find that, yes, a lot of parents do not want to kick their kids out of the house. But I tell you what will soothe a lot of tension if you still live with your parents. Get a job and help the family financially. Yes, even if, in your estimation, quote-unquote, my parents don't need the money. Now, this matter of Jesus working is important to us, and so when we get together again tomorrow, I want to say more about it. But hey, have you written to me yet? May is the month for mail on God Is, and I'm waiting for yours. I have this gift here for you, and I need to know where to send it. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, your name. 2, how do you listen? 3, why you listen? And 4, include any comments or questions. So write. And then join me again tomorrow for God Is.